Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 710 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you have not been tracking the story with the Supervisor of Elections race, man, this is a bad story. This is the kind of story I hate to have to tell, but you know it is what it is, so they say. So we got word yesterday that the Supervisor of Elections office had disqualified Bruce Childers, Pam Childers, who's the clerk of the court and the comptroller for Escambia County, husband, an attorney. He had filed to run and been qualified to run according to the website. So he was all good. Yesterday we got word that he was not good. You know, it showed up on the website, so I noticed that, and then I contacted Robert Bender, the Supervisor of Elections. I say, hey, man, what's the story? And he sent me a very boilerplate kind of answer that basically said that, you know, he is committed to making sure the elections have integrity and that he failed to properly file his Form 6, that the financial disclosure was not filed properly, and that he, you know, has been disqualified. And that's that. And that's so he gets elected without opposition. Robert Bender does. He was appointed that role when David Stafford left to go work with CISA at the federal level. And the governor appointed him out of the District 4 seat for the county commission, which is where he'd been, and which is why we don't have a District 4 commissioner even to this day. Well, I thought that was kind of weird because I know Bruce Childers just a little bit. I know Pam very well, and I know Robert very well. I think I've met Bruce once or twice. Seems like a very serious guy, and I just don't think that he would, you know, make a silly mistake. So I wanted to know more. And of course, we had talked to, Robert on Monday. I did talk to him briefly yesterday, but he couldn't offer me any more details besides what's in the statement, which I think is because there's a lawsuit going to come. I just guarantee there's going to be a lawsuit over this. So here's what happened. Bruce Childers filed last Wednesday, and I read you the full statement that he has now produced. It's up on our Facebook page if you want to read it for yourself. They filed all their forms. They did everything they were supposed to do. When asking the Supervisor of Elections representative what they needed to do, she said, do this. They did that. They were qualified. Totally fine. Then it showed on the website Wednesday night, qualified. All good. We're done. Thursday comes, no contact, no problem. Friday comes, no contact, no problem. The noon deadline passes, no contact, no problem. All good. Meanwhile, you've got this whole drama on the side with John Johnson, the Republican candidate for District 3 against Lumen May, who tried to file last minute, did a couple of things wrong, wound up not getting qualified despite hours of work to make that happen on Friday. We talked to Robert Bender about this on Monday, and, you know, he made some very important points in that conversation, one of which is that he always does the secondary checks except for the races involving him.
And I did most of the second checks. I didn't do anything for anybody that was running against me or anything like that, so I did most of the second check.
So somebody else, if anybody else, would have done the secondary check for Bruce Childers. He said that, you know, three people had brought in cures to their paperwork.
I was gonna say, in some of those secondary reviews, people didn't have the right forms, so we would contact them. They had time to fix it, right? Okay. So I know of at least three candidates that brought in additional paperwork.
And it only took an hour, even on busy, busy Friday, to at least start the secondary checks.
Probably had five or six candidates in the last hour and a half come through, so we were fairly busy.
Yep.
And so about an hour later, I started the secondary review, and noticed that he had submitted a Form 1 instead of a Form 6.
So that was all for John Johnson, and the key takeaway in that story was
it would have been curable. Had it come in earlier, and that's why we always tell candidates to come in early. If we'd caught it and he'd had time to get it to us before noon,
right?
Then it would have been curable.
So John Johnson files late in the day on Friday, and they can't fix the problems. Bruce Childers filed on Wednesday, and there were no problems to be fixed, or so they were told. Then a week and a day later, you know, yesterday, they find out that they're not qualified. Because the Supervisor of Elections says that they're supposed to file the full Form 6, not just the summary page with the watermark from the Ethics Commission. And that was not what they had been told at the time, and they certainly could have fixed it at the time if they had been told, and now all of a sudden they're disqualified. And there had been no contact prior to this. There had been no effort to cure it in the 2 days since, which is the reason you file early, so that you can cure the problems. It is, in fact, statutorily the obligation, Supervisor of Elections, to try to fix the problems, to make sure that anybody who's a candidate for office gets to be a candidate for office if they want to be, just like it's their job to help you vote if you want to vote. So what happened? Well, we don't know. Why was there a secondary review? Was there a secondary review before? Not by Robert Bender? We don't know. If there wasn't a secondary review, why wasn't there? Regardless, what did they discover after 6 days or 7 days? You know, what changed a week later? And so we don't know the answer to that question. But I'll tell you my interpretation of this, and it's not good. Let me get John Pickens in here with traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but we're seeing if you're heading on Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola through that construction, we're seeing delays in both north and southbound right there. And also watch your speed through that area also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you've got a plumbing need, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall, the heat, the temperature, you know, the pressure, whatever is bad in your pipes, okay, call Barbary Plumbing. They'll take care of you. Flat rate pricing, 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. So back to the Supervisor of Elections race. How do you explain all of this? Well, one possibility is that, you know, Bruce and his team did it wrong, and they are to blame. The Supervisor of Elections did everything right. That looks very unlikely to me. Possibility number two, Bruce and his team did everything right or tried to do, and the Supervisor of Elections office somehow botched this up. That seems like the most plausible explanation to me. I don't know because of the rules changes. I don't know because of just a failure. But, you know, mistakes can be made. Okay, I think that's the most likely explanation here. Option number three is that it was done for political malice or, you know, some kind of nefarious thing. I know Robert Bender really well. I consider him a good friend. He's always been responsive. He's always got good explanations for the things that he says. We don't always agree, but I agree with him a lot. And I think he was one of the most capable commissioners we've ever had. I trust him. I think he's a man of good character. I don't think that's what's going on here. But I will tell you, I hate to have to say this, his office did this wrong. Unless some really decisive information comes forward, the Supervisor of Elections office has one job. It's to help candidates qualify. They had 2 days if there were problems and they didn't fix it. That's on them. And I don't know how they discovered it a week later, but even if they did, he's got, I think, the power and discretion to say, you know what, the mistake was ours, and I'll still let him be on the ballot. See, here's the thing. Robert Bender, once he discovers the problem, if there is one, has the choice to either disqualify or qualify, and he's probably thinking in his head, I don't have the power to put somebody on the ballot who didn't qualify. That's probably what he's thinking. But he actually does. If in his judgment, his own office made the errors that led to this problem. Certainly, I think he has the power. And so he could have allowed Bruce on and just not disqualified him. And he could have said to him, you know, hey, this is what happened, and come out publicly and said, hey, this is what happened, but, you know, I'll allow you on the ballot. See, there's nobody who's going to sue against that. Because the only person who would really have standing to sue would be him, because he's the one running against him. But if he's the opponent, he's not been deprived of anything. If it had been some other race where there was only one alternative, then that person might try to sue. But that can't happen in this case. The right answer here, even after the mistake, was to put him on the ballot. And I think they're going to sue, and a judge is going to see it that way, and a judge is going to put him back on the ballot, and we're going to have all of this overturned in the course of the next couple of days, I would think, on an emergency basis pretty quick, because Bruce has already spent like $50,000 on advertising. You know, that all of these problems. So what's the takeaway? Well, the voters of Escambia County, my most likely projection is they're going to have a choice to make between two Republican candidates at the primary. And again, I hate to say it, but it looks like Robert Bender somehow really goofed up his first election and in the race against him, which is going to lend itself very easily to people accusing him of bad things. But even if you don't believe it was on purpose in any way, and I don't, it's still bad. And so voters are going to take that into account. 437-1620. Somebody says you contacted Robert Bender. I have, and he said he has to defer to the statement that they made, which I assume is because of legal matters coming up. So anyway, Bruce Childers, somebody says, if you file last minute, you shouldn't run. He didn't file last minute. He filed on Wednesday, and they only had to do it for a week. They only qualify him for a week. So he filed in plenty of time to fix any problems that came up. So anyway, that's my take on it. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Lasting strength for life is found in deep and sincere study of the Word of God. Specifically, if you're seeking strength for life, I challenge you to study the Gospel of John. The book's thesis explains that it has two main objectives. First, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And second, that believing ye might have life through his name. The 21 chapters set out to prove that Jesus was the Christ that the Old Testament prophesied about. And secondly, the Gospel of John offers eternal life in heaven through Jesus. Lasting strength for life starts and ends with belief in Jesus. So take time to read the Gospel according to John. You may be eternally glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Like sports, music, computers, or animals?
So do children who are awaiting adoption.
Families First Network is the connection between children who wait in foster care and families who adopt.
As the trusted partner for adoptions in Northwest Florida, Families First Network connects adoptive families with training and support throughout the entire process.
Begin your journey by signing up for a free Zoom information session at familiesfirstnetwork.org.
That's familiesfirstnetwork.org.
Can going to the shooting range relieve stress and anxiety?
Many Americans are starting to see the health benefits of spending time at the shooting range. Shooting increases mental capacity, boosts confidence, spikes adrenaline, and improves balance. Stop by Jim's Firearms and pick up all you need to head to the range. Jim's Firearms always encourages you to get out and shoot and know your firearm. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento, near the back gate of NAS. Online at jimsfirearms.net.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union. Because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 7:23 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and joining us now, we have the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County, Dave Greenwood, and this beach report is brought to you by All Season Service Network. We guarantee to always provide the best service in the area. Dave, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thank you, Andrew. Happy Friday to you, and a bright, sunny day it is.
Happy Friday to you. I know you guys have been dealing with the challenges of people having come. They want to swim in the Gulf, and you have had to put up double red flags a lot this week, right?
Right. And as I will say, everyone, you asked me that several times, what color flag it is. And people ask me on the phone, what color flag it is. And they're not looking at the rip current risk. No one asks me, is there high risk for rip currents? They ask me, what color flag is it? Because they want to know if they can go on the water. Mm-hmm. When I tell them, we're flying a red flag on Sunday and Monday, and we had to pull out 7 people Sunday, Monday, and then we put the double red flags up Tuesday. Lifeguards had thousands of preventative acts. They had to go in after one person over that period of time, and it looks like the surf is going to drop as we get into the weekend.
So we're likely to be, what, back to just a single red flag, you think, this weekend? Yellows?
Well, I will not say flags. I will say the risk of rip currents will start to diminish.
Okay. Okay. this is a new way of presenting the information to me.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, everyone says flags, flags, flags. You know, flags are a minor tool we use, but there's still a risk anytime you go in the water. And again, you know, people want to know. I spoke to some woman Monday, and she wanted to know. She called me on the phone and said, well, a single red flag, we can still go in the water? I said, ma'am, there still is strong, there's high surf and strong currents right now. Okay, well, that's all I wanted to know. So, I mean, it's the risk. What is the risk is more of the message that I want to try to communicate and try to get people to understand. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to go to the beach when I was 6 and 7 years old, and we'd on the way to the beach, I asked Dad, hey, Dad, are we going to quiet water or the Gulf? And, of course, I always wanted to go to quiet water. I always wanted to go to the Gulf.
Right.
I didn't want to go to quiet water. And Dad said, they didn't have a flag system back then, but Dad said, well, if there's surf, we're going to quiet water. And I was like, oh, man. But I mean, that's the way people should look at it. And, you know, is there surf? You know, what is your swimming ability?
So you and I have been talking about surf conditions for years on the show. And I'll just tell you, I feel kind of frustrated at the moment. And I think other people feel frustrated, too, because the system we thought we understood has now been changed. And we understood the reasons for the change, to align ourselves with other beaches in the area. But now it feels like, What do we do? What's the information? What's the guidance? You know what I mean? And I know what you're trying to say, which is you want to keep people safe. But, you know, the reason we have green, yellow, red is so that we can assess the risk. And it sounds like now you're more saying is, no, the flags don't really mean that much. Just look at the strength of the possibility.
I'm not saying the flags don't mean that much. I'm saying everyone, I mean, the first question when we work a drowning call, the first question is asked is, what color were the flags?
Right.
Not, hey, how strong were the rip currents? What was a surf like? No, it's what color flags were flying. Like, you know, that has a direct correlation between what happened.
Oh, which I understand. But, I mean, I guess I'm hearing you say, like, we shouldn't pay that much attention to the flags because that's not the real issue, but that's the one thing we have to pay attention to, right?
Sure, right. I mean, but what I'm trying to say is you have to measure the risk. And people, they just look at the flags as it's a stoplight. Oh, can I go in the water or not?
Right.
And that's not the way to look at it. Again, when we had green, yellow, and red, people would call and I'd say, yeah, we're flying a yellow flag today. And they didn't care about it. And I'd say there are still strong currents out there. They didn't care about that. They just wanted to know if they could go in the water.
Okay. So this is a matter of people have been really taking it for granted that yellow is basically safe because it's not closed, or that now red is basically safe because it's not closed, and you're trying to get people to think not that.
Exactly. I want to let them know that just because they can go in the water, there still is high surf and strong currents out there when we have a red flag flying. The risk is still high. And you know, again, people are on vacation. A lot of them, when you're on your time off, you want to relax and.
Sure.
And that's when people let their guard down, especially
right.
out here. Because look at this beautiful Gulf, and you know it's nature, and nature can be violent at times, and that quite often is not realized until it's too late. And what we're trying to do is keep people on that happy street. We do not want them to go down the street without joy.
Okay,
I
understand.
So
I understand. And I see where you're coming from in the sense that you want to get people to be more thoughtful and more aware than just the kind of permissive go because it's available to you. I'd get that. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, I know it's frustrating to you too, and so I really appreciate you taking some time to teach us and keeping us safe because that is ultimately your job and you're very, very good at it. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Andrew, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next Friday.
You too.
Picture this. It's a hot, humid summer day and your AC stops working. What do? You call All Season Service Network. All Seasons has been locally owned and operated since 1967, offering 24/7 emergency services with multiple technicians ready at all times for your future HVAC needs. From residential to commercial, All Seasons provides installations, new construction builds, and any other kind of HVAC needs. Visit allseasonsnow.com to schedule an appointment or call 850-434-0384. Call today.
729 here on News Radio Pensacola. And if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, a fantastic resource for you, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Combined more than 40 years of real estate experience, sold 175 homes last year. They will work their tails off to help you get the best price selling or buying in a timely manner, including, you know, the way they photograph and stage and set the price and do the open house. And even in a slow market like this, they are still very, very capable of getting you good deals on both sides of the ball. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a quick headline for us. David?
Actually, I don't have a headline.
Oh, perfect then. Outstanding. Thank you so much for the time. It's a pleasure doing business with you. Hey, coming up in just a moment, what is MATSEG 21 and what are Marines doing on NAS Pensacola? We'll find out. You'll be fascinated.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Free pass to dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters.
At least 30 of the 46 cases against those campus protesters were dismissed. Those Columbia students and staff members were arrested and charged with misdemeanor trespass on April 30th when anti-Israel demonstrators took over, barricading themselves inside for hours before police with riot helmets cleared the damaged building.
Fox's Chandley Painter of the Manhattan DA's office claims insufficient evidence, but tells Fox Digital they'll continue to pursue other cases, including assaults on police officers. Plenty of drama at the U.S. Supreme Court waiting for the ruling on presidential immunity, a claim brought by the former president Donald Trump. It could come down at 10 a.m. Eastern. Well, at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, a federal court judge in Florida will listen to a motion to dismiss argument from Donald Trump's legal team based on the appointment of special counsel Jack Smith. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have mostly clear skies, 76 degrees, an absolutely beautiful morning right now. Another high-profile race in Escambia County appears like it may be won unopposed. We get more from News Radio's Joe Ford.
Yeah, yesterday it was announced that Bruce Childers didn't qualify to run against Escambia Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender. According to Bender's own office, Childers full and public financial disclosure, also known as the Form 6, was not provided in time for the qualifying deadline. Childers, the husband of Escambia County Clerk of Court Pam Childers, according to EscambiaVotes.com, Childers had spent $42,000 this month, the vast majority of it in political advertising. A total of $100,000 in campaign funds was a loan from himself. Joe Ford, News Radio Pensacola.
And of course, as of this morning, Bruce Childers has now released a statement on this incident on Facebook, and he describes what happened from his point of view. Childers says he did file those financial disclosures days before the deadline and was never told that there was an issue with his paperwork. He also says that he was listed as being qualified on the county elections website until days after the deadline. You can read Childers' full statement on the News Radio Facebook page. We do have it posted there. Next week, when the Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners meet, they may take up a resolution that could be a bit controversial.
Millions of illegal immigrants are invading our country, and it's having an effect on the citizens of Santa Rosa County. What this resolution will do will send a message saying that illegal aliens are not welcome in Santa Rosa County.
Commissioner James Calkins there, and he tells Channel 3 that it's not just a political statement, but he says it's a response to incidents that have been reported in the county. He says he's received reports of car accidents and crimes being committed by illegal immigrants, and the Santa Rosa commissioners are expected to discuss a possible resolution and possibly even vote on one next week. A 22-year-old man has died after a drive-by shooting in Pensacola. It happened yesterday afternoon at West Gonzalez and North M Streets.
Maybe four or five shots. And I'm like, wow, them gunshots. And a few minutes later, we had like five or six more. We don't have that problem. Not over in this area, we don't have that problem. I mean, it's been, I haven't even heard of anybody getting shot in this area. This is like the first.
And that's somebody who lives near the scene there. PPD spokesman Mike Wood says the shooting has not yet been connected to a string of ambush-style shootings that have taken place around Escambia County in recent months, although he does say the investigation is still very young. The victim in this case died shortly after that shooting at a local hospital. He's since been identified as Terrell Omar Owens. And actor Donald Sutherland has died at the age of 88. Sutherland, known for roles in The Hunger Games, Dirty Dozen, MASH, and Animal House. His agency and his family confirmed he died yesterday at his home in Miami. It is 7:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John Pickens, what are you seeing?
Well, we've got one accident to let you know about. If you're traveling on Pine Forest Road and Mobile Highway, right at that intersection, there's a vehicle crash. The road is clear, but we're seeing some major backups. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Mostly sunny skies on Friday. Not expecting rain. There's a small chance for an afternoon shower, but I do not expect it anywhere in the area. And that is the theme of the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, more of the same. Lots of sun. Normally, we'd hit about 91 degrees. We'll be right around that number today. I think a little hotter than that this weekend, though, closer to 95 degrees, with, again, small rain chances and lows in the 70s. I'm meteorologist Christian Garman with your forecast for Friday for WEAR-TV.
And right now, 76 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Your next news at 8. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. SpaceX is rolling out a compact version of its satellite internet antennas called Starlink Mini. The company is offering a limited number of the mini antennas for $5.99 each in an early access release, though the company said it does aspire to eventually reduce the price tag. In addition to the upfront hardware cost, service for a Starlink Mini is effectively $150 per month for 50 gigabytes of data. Shares of Dell Technologies and Supermicro Computer have jumped after Elon Musk revealed that the two hardware makers will provide servers to help his artificial intelligence startup xAI develop a supercomputer. The technology would potentially help Tesla develop the tech needed for robots and autonomous vehicles. Supermicro shares popped more than 8%, while Dell gained 1%. Futures are slightly lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 299. That's your money now.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
An important message about your timeshare from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. Contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance, and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about timeshare cancellation.
Call 800-653-1188, 800-653-1188.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola, tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Bird. Let's go, move out. You're Marines now. You improvise, you adapt, you overcome.
Let me see your war face! Sir, you got a war face? Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face! Ah! face. You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face. Ah! You don't scare me. Work on it.
We follow orders, son. We follow orders or people die. It's that simple. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Are we clear?
Crystal.
We're looking for a few good men. With a medal to be Marines.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news, and yes, it is our series on meeting your tenant commands, understanding what the local military mission is all about. And this segment, Meeting Your Tenant Commands, is brought to you by Warrior Beer Company, located on Sorrento Road. We've got your six. Joining us now, we have the commanding officer of MATSEG 21, United States Marine Corps, Colonel Aaron Chet Brunk. Colonel, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I got to ask, I tweaked it up a little bit for the Marines. Did I do okay? Did I put a smile on your face?
You did. I had a smile. I do have a smile. I currently have a smile, so I'm still smiling.
Very, very good. So let's start with super basic things. What is a MATSEG? What does it stand for? And then we'll get to what you do, because it's a big, complicated answer. But go ahead, sir.
Okay, so a MATSEG is a Marine Aviation Training Support Group. And so there are three located on this base. There's 21, which is my command, and then 23. And then we also have a reserve, MATSEG 42, who's in charge of the reserves in the area. But those are the three that are here on this base at NAS Pensacola.
And what you do is, best as I understand it, and you and I have talked several times off the air, and it was a long road for me to grasp the concept, is you are the coordinating command for all of the elements under your responsibility so that Marines get the training they need, which is provided by the Navy training components, so that you produce pilots and rescue swimmers and explosives ordnance demolition and cyber. Did I get it right?
Yeah, so I have cyber command, so all the Marines that are here at Corey Station in Warrington, they fall underneath me, so, and after that, they go to Fort Eisenhower, which is in Augusta, Georgia, to finish out their training, and they're still underneath us. And then EOD, so Explosive Ordnance Disposal, that is in Eglin, so that's ran by the Air Force. And then Dive School for our MARSOC guys and our Force Reconnaissance guys that go to Combat Dive School, that's in Panama City.
What's a MARSOC?
And then also,
what's MARSOC?
MARSOC is Marine Special Operations.
Perfect.
So that's what that stands for.
Combat divers,
so,
right?
Then also, yep, combat divers. So, they wear scuba gear, they go underwater, they sneak into places and sneak out of places. So that's how we do insertion and extraction through underwater.
Got it.
And then also all of the Marine aviation instructors, so the ones who are the instructors in the T-6 and up at Whiting Field and the helicopters up at Whiting Field, all those Marines, even though they work for day-to-day training Wing 5, we support them. And all the students come to us through MATSEG 21, then you go to ground school, do the Navy, and then they go to primary and advanced, where that's helicopters, B-22s, jets, et cetera.
So it might help to maybe back up for a second and just to make sure, because even for me, I was learning and talking with you about all of this, that the Marines as an entity, you know, every Marine is a Marine, and that means in some sense that you are a generalist, you are a fighter. Everybody goes through either the basic school if you're an officer for 6 months and then officer candidate school, or if you're enlisted, boot camp for 12 weeks and then combat training and a variety of things. But Marines are generalists, and it's like the military, which has the Air Force and the Navy and the Army and the Coast Guard. The Marines are like all of that, but a much smaller, compact size. And so every Marine is going to do a variety of different things. And it doesn't make sense for you to have separate training just for your guys who do EOD. Since Eglin does this, let's partner with them. It doesn't make sense to have your guys learn rotors. Whiting does this. let's use them to train our Marines. And so across the board, the different specialties and different elements of your command, because the Marines need all these different things, it makes more sense for the kind of the assembly line, so to speak, of the Navy or the Air Force to do those trainings, and you partner with them to partake in that. Do I basically have it right?
Yes, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Is we're super tiny. We don't have a lot of money as far as the service goes, and so it makes sense for us to just strap on to everybody else's training. So, and that's all mostly like entry level, but then after we get to the Fleet Marine Force, that's where we get more specialized training. For instance, if, like, I'm a helicopter guy, so went through Naval Aviation School here, became a winged aviator out of Whiting. And then when we go to the fleet, we learn how to fly. I flew a Cobra. So that's where we go. The Marine Corps then teaches us how to fly the Cobra and use the Cobra as a weapon system.
And so, and then, but after that, and this is what I think is so interesting about the Marine Corps is, you did, I think you did 8 years as a pilot, a Cobra pilot, but then you came back to Whiting as a trainer on the Cobra, or not on the Cobra, but for rotors for the pilots there, right? And a helicopter trainer at Whiting?
Yeah. So spent about 8 years flying Cobras. Also was at Marine Special Operations and another thing called Anglico. So a lot of ground time, but then I came back as the CO of one of the squadrons up at Whiting, which was HD-18, and spent about 4 years doing that, and then left again and go back to the Marine Corps, and then I'm a fires guy for a MEF, so out in Okinawa, Japan, so it's called fires and effects coordinator. So throughout your career, especially the older you get, the more generalized you become and less specialized in the trade that you were originally. Like, for instance, I was a Cobra pilot before, but you do less than that as you get older.
And so,
but as we say in the Marines, every Marine's a rifleman. So that's why we have the training for boot camp for 12 weeks. And that's why all of the officers go to the basic school for 6 months.
And then the thing that it's just, again, trying to get my mind wrapped around it is, like in the Navy, you're an officer, you go through the pilot training pipeline, you become a pilot, you go fly Hornets, or Super Hornets these days in the Navy. You're a pilot for all of your career, maybe unless you progress upwards to becoming a commanding officer. You might get a gig like commanding NES Pensacola. You might eventually promote to admiral or whatever, but you're a pilot. Maybe later on you become a supervisor, basically, in the Navy. But if you're a Marine officer, you are, you're a Marine, and then, all kinds of combat, and then you do 8 years as a Cobra, and then you do some other stuff, and then you come back and train pilots for 4 years, and then you do some other stuff, and you're not a pilot only, you're a Marine with wings, right?
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
And which is really, it's a little bit of a mind shift for people to understand. That's why I wanted to ask you, because it took me a little while to grasp it. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Marine Colonel Aaron Chet Brunk, call sign Chet. He is a commanding officer of MATSIG 21 on board NAS Pensacola. Let's get traffic on the fives here with John Pickens.
That's right. Just got a text in about an accident involving a motorcycle and SUV on Wild Lake Road at the turn of Hardee's. I'll get you more information on that as it becomes available. Also, still dealing with the accident on Pine Forest and Goodwin Lane. That's where Mobile Highway and Pine Forest basically intersect, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to United States Marine Corps Colonel Aaron Chet Brunk. Colonel, maybe this will help people understand kind of the presence locally. How many Marines do you have in your command station on board NAS Pensacola for MATSIG 21?
We have about a total of 1,400 to 1,500 in any given time, and that's from Panama City over here. And most half of those are going to be your student naval aviators and your instructor pilots.
And then how many train through your command over the course of, say, a year?
So the pilots, somewhere around 300, go through for cyber, probably a couple hundred. You're talking at any one time at Corey Station, we probably have like 300, sometimes as high as 400 Marines that are going through cyber school.
Mm-hmm.
If that kind of gives you an idea.
Several. It does. And that's the main component of what you do is the pilot preparation for the Marines and the rotor training for the Marines and the instructor pilots that are Marine pilots that go and train Navy and Marine pilots at Whiting Field, right?
Right. And so I'm a guy who picks where they go fly. So, you know, when they graduate from the T6, I'm a guy who tells them that they're going rotors or jets or whatever. Same when they go rotors.
Okay.
I'm the guy who says you're going Cobras or Hueys or 53s.
And so you're in charge of the selection, or, you know, giving them the good news or the bad news, right? Although it's all good news if they're flying.
That's
but, you
correct.
Know.
That's correct. So I'm the guy that gets, you know, blame me if you didn't get what you want.
And one of the other kind of maybe unique things is that in the Navy, you kind of train for a platform. You know, you're producing a platform pilot, but the way the Navy uses those platforms, you know, like the F-18 or the F-35, is different from how the Marine Corps uses those platforms. You guys tend to fly everything kind of in conjunction. It's a combined forces, combined platforms. And so even though they're learning the naval aviator process, you're still always having to make sure that they stay as Marines because the Marine mission is different from the Navy mission, right?
Correct. So when we most deploy, we deploy in what's called a MEU, M-E-U, Marine Expeditionary Unit. So it's out and on the ships, and they're kind of like little carriers. And on that carrier is going to be your F-35s, your 53s, your Hueys, your Cobras, and the whole package is called an ACE, Air Combat Element. And we all fly together. So it's a lot, it's different than if you're a Navy person and maybe you're flying a Sierra 60 or a Romeo 60. When we go in all together. So the grunts are on board, the infantry's on board, the helicopters, and if we're going to go, you know, in to assault something, then you got the Cobras and that are protecting the package, and you got the F-35s that are overhead. So it's combined arms is what we call it.
And in terms of like the overall relationship with kind of like the naval aviator community, how many naval aviators have like ever been made? And then how many of them Marines have been made? Just so people get a sense of the relationship between the size of the force.
Yeah. So I think there were about up to 37,000 unrestricted naval aviators at Whiting Field that have graduated as helicopter pilots. That's unrestricted naval aviator, meaning that you fly the airplane and you can fly a helicopter.
Okay. That's over the last like 100 years. That's like total in time, right?
That's correct. That's right. So when you think about it, you know, there's probably about that many cops in New York right now. And, you know, and you think about how small that number is over the last 100 years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a small group that get winged out of Whiting Field. It's pretty interesting. And it's a small community. And you understand that as you get older and older and you look around and, you know everybody, right? And you're friends with everybody because it's a small community.
And the Marines are a much smaller number than even that 37,000 over the last century, right?
That's correct. And I don't know that number off the top of my head, but it would probably be a third-ish because that's about what we produce.
Okay.
Out of Whiting Field is about a third of our Marines.
And so if your mission, MATSIG 21, onboard AS Pensacola, doesn't happen, some kind of a breakdown, the implications of that breakdown are across all of these different sectors of Marine Corps training, from cyber to explosives ordnance demolition to combat divers to rotor pilots and even non-rotor pilots, right? Like all of that is something that's affected, right?
Yes. And we're really a small headquarters unit that's stationed here that, you know, take care of all those Marines across the Gulf Coast.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you. And I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So our Marines are responsible for, you know, making everybody gets paid, making sure, you know, the money flows to the right places when we get it from higher. So we own the budget for all those places. We own all the personnel administrative type stuff for those places. And then we also, in coordination with those schoolhouses, you know, for instance, if we want a change in the curriculum, that's kind of what we work through. And then they'll say like, well, we need two more instructors. And so we work that through the Marine Corps to get two instructors to then get what we want. So it's a lot of you know, playing nice and being liaisons and being good neighbors with the people who support us with their facilities and their training.
Absolutely. Last question for you, sir. Chet is your call sign. The only Chet of any reference I can think of is in the movie Weird Science. Is that how you got your nickname,
That's correct.
Is there some other reason?
That's correct. So the big brother in Weird Science. I was a little bit mean to the younger lieutenants when I was growing up. So
all right,
well, that's what they said. They said I'm, you know,
the classic Bill Paxton role. So all right, very good. So I've learned what I need to know. United States Marine Corps Colonel Aaron Chet Bronk. He is the commanding officer of MATSIG 21 onboard NAS Pensacola. Colonel, thank you for the time. Thanks for training the Marines. Thanks for helping us civilians understand. I mean, you know, 1,000 people. 1,500 people, you know, that you shape their lives and oversee them. And until today, most people probably had never heard of it. And that's why I wanted to do this series. So thank you so much for the time and your service. Great to meet you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
7:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you've got air conditioning, a heating, an electrical, or a plumbing need, Peden, they will take care of you. Expanding all across the Gulf Coast, all the way east to Tallahassee over the last couple of years, and now west to Baldwin County last year, and then this year to Mobile County. So they are everywhere. And, of course, they've been in Ellison Field here in Pensacola for a long time. Call them, professional service, 100% satisfaction guarantee. They stand by their work. Quality people, quality products. Find out more at Peden.com. Also, as they're turning 55 this year, they've got a complete AC inspection for $55. And also, they've got a complete tank water heater flush and plumbing inspection for $55. Call today and figure out if you need to remove sediment, build up, hurting how fast your water heats up. Traffic on the fives now. John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Pine Forest and Mobile Highway, just a little bit north of that intersection right there, but it's still causing some delays. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
bed bugs? What do I do? How to get rid of them? I haven't a clue!
Lori and PJ know just what to do. At Davis Hardware and U-Haul, they have the solution for you.
Hi, can we help you?
We have bed bugs, more than a few.
They are a bugger to eradicate, but we can guide you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees know what happens when infestations get out of hand and have the experience to help you get rid of your uninvited bedmates.
Thank you!
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 till 5, and Saturday, 8 till noon.
Hurricane season, and when a storm threatens our region, News Radio Pensacola has complete around-the-clock coverage you can count on. Our award-winning news team will be tracking the storm's every move, providing regular updates on the storm's path, intensity, and potential impacts. You can listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This hurricane information is brought to you by DeFranco Gas. Get your home or business storm ready. Install or maintain your generator with DeFranco Gas. DeFranco Gas does all things gas.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sun.
7:59 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne has got a headline or two for us here on News Radio. Go ahead, David.
Absolutely. The U.S. and China holding talks again about nuclear arms. Reuters says delegations from Washington and Beijing met for the first time in 5 years in March in Shanghai to hold some informal talks regarding Taiwan. And that's what we've got right now.
Very good, David. Thank you.